Welcome back to SFG Podcast. I am your host, Lion Zion 4, with my co-host today, same co-host I've had for the last 13 episodes, the scruffy one himself, Mr. Sick, Coach Sick. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, man. I wanted to, you know, make this a quick intro and just get right into things because it's been a little while since we got through these the last episode. And I wanted to just sit there and get through the pleasantries kind of early. It's been a lot going on in the Arsenal world the last couple games. And figured we would just get right into it, man. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I agree. It's been a little bit of ups and downs.
Definitely.
Since like the last time we've had a podcast, so it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it has been. It has been, especially considering how happy we were going into the United game, right?
And yep.
And again, shout out to Jermaine. Thanks for coming through for the United game.
Yeah, definitely. Big ups.
Yep. Big ups to him. And to all our guests so far, I think the guests have, in all fairness, I think our guests have been pretty good. You know, I mean, everybody that's been on from V2 to Jermaine to Shane, you know, I think it's been pretty well.
Yeah,
so,
man.
But as you said,
we're gonna try to continue to grow, man.
Of course.
We definitely want to keep getting guests for you guys each episode.
Definitely.
That we can. So. Just keep an eye out for the next one. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on it. So, yeah, man, just be prepared for the next guest.
For sure. Definitely. So let's get into it. So the last pod we had, we spoke with, like I said, with Jermaine about Manchester United Arsenal preview. It ended in a nil-all draw, which I guess was fair to both sides, considering we outshot them. We had 17 shots, they're 14. They actually outpossessed us and outpassed us throughout the game. They committed more fouls than we did. I think it was like in the 16-9. And, I mean, to be fair, I thought it was a tale of two halves, you know, with first half and second half. Lacazette, I think, was probably our best player, I feel like, on the day. Could have been. He was man of the match, according to, I think, NBC. But David Luiz had a really good game. Our back line, I think, played very well considering Cavani, Bruno, Rashford. Rashford, by the way, when was the last time Rashford scored a goal on us? Like, Rashford and Martial have both been very poor against us in recent times, right? I think it's been like Jesse Lingard who's been like their best player against us. And, you know, With the lightning form that Bruno has been on, you know, I think we kept the lid on Bruno for the most part. Cavani too as well. So, and all in all, I think it was a good game. We got to see Odegaard debut, which we'll talk about him in the transfer segment coming up. But all in all, I think a really good game. I think that it was a well-deserved point for both sides. And I guess from that point on, you know, things started to go downhill, I guess you could say. But before we even get to the next game, which is Wolves, that was on February 2nd, let's get back into transfer deadline day. And we can review the transfers now that it's over. I think for the most part, we didn't have any big business on that day itself, but 2 days prior, I think it was, we received Martin Odegaard on loan. That seemed to rile up a lot of Arsenal fans in a good way because, I mean, this is a quality player, you know. What do you think?
I think it's something we kind of needed because I really like how Smith Rowe's playing, but I do think we still need a little bit of depth in that position. I think we are lacking there. Obviously, now that we have Ozil off the books, it's definitely a plus. He hasn't been playing much, so I definitely figured it would take him, a little bit of time before he, kind of got into the swing of things and was able to kind of, make an impact for us. But I thought it was a good signing. He, we obviously are going to get more into it, but I think he has done pretty well for what he, kind of the minutes that he's gotten so far. I think he's done pretty well so far, but we'll obviously get there. But yeah, man, I think our business that we did, I thought we should have gotten a left back, but I think we tried to get one and it didn't, work out. But hey, I think that's going to be a priority for us in the summer.
Facts. And I think the more important thing was getting the people out. Getting
definitely. Ozil, yeah.
I agree. Fenerbahce, which we terminated his contract. I'm sure, right? It wasn't a loan.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so we terminated the contract, reached the agreement. Ozil's officially off the books. Kolasinac.
He's off the books.
Yep.
Well, Kolasinac is
still, he's on loan.
Well, he's off. He's off the books because they're paying for everything.
Yeah, and I think it's wages. Contingent to Schalke, not getting relegated, which as of right now doesn't seem likely to not happen because I think they're at the bottom of the Bundesliga table. So I think if he gets relegated, they're able, or if they get relegated, he's able to leave. Or like not stay there. I'm not sure exactly how it goes. I know that there's a contingency thing in his contract with them that states if they get relegated, he doesn't go down to Bundesliga 2. So maybe he becomes a free agent at that point. But yeah.
Well, yeah, I think so because he's a free agent in the summer, right?
If I'm not mistaken, he would have been. I think. Yeah, they have nine points. Yikes! Wow.
Yeah, and they just got Mustafi, so I feel like they're gonna pick up some points soon.
Yeah,
they just picked Mustafi too. Obviously,
I mean, Mustafi, what is going on with them, man? That's normally a pretty big club over but there.
It is, but I feel like they've had a few coaches. Like they've been kind of going through coaches left and right, and I don't think they've found somebody that can kind of get them going, but. I mean, they got a new coach now, so we'll see how he does. They're 9 points
off the drop zone, so maybe that Bundesliga, anything could happen. Clearly, because Dortmund's in sixth place right now, and Bundesliga is a very competitive league in terms of teams. So they could be safe. You never know. But yes, Mustafi over to Schalke. And Joe Willock on loan over to Newcastle, who scored his first goal for them last week. Kudos to him. Ainsley Maitland-Niles over at West Brom as well too. So, our goalkeeper signing, right?
Yeah, Matt Ryan. Yep.
Matt Ryan from Brighton.
I think he was the first one in.
Yes.
From our transfer, I think he was definitely the first one in, if I'm not mistaken. And then after that, we had a few players go out before we got Odegaard to come in.
Yeah.
So it definitely, I think it was a good window for what it was. But obviously, we know that we need to do a lot more in the summer. If we somehow get to Champions League by the end of the season, it's going to be a plus. I think it makes our transfers in the summer a lot easier. Because obviously, at the end of the day, we're still a big club. But if we're not in Champions League, the players that we really want to go for, it's going to be tough to convince them to come and make them play in Europa League again, if we even get there, because as of right now, we're not even in Europa League. But if we somehow can get into Champions League again, then I feel like it'll be a lot easier for this summer. because, you know, we got a lot of the players off the books. So, it's moving in the right direction, but it's just tough because we've been, you know, obviously struggling for so long. We want to see those immediate impacts.
Correct.
So it's a little bit, but yeah.
I hear you on that. I hear you. And then to be honest with you, I don't think the plan was just to only start the fire sale in the summer. I think the plan was always start in January so you don't have to do too much in the summer so you can now plan for the summer. So now I do have 6 months knowing that we have, you know, Ozil, Mustafi, Socrates, who also left too, Kolasinac. All off the books. That's almost what it's close to $1 million in weekly wages. I mean, you could sign four big players for that, maybe more. You could sign four world class players
probably more than that.
$250 a week for that. Yeah, and it's probably more than that, like you said. So, you know, I don't think the issue with Arsenal has been transfer wages, right? I mean, transfer money. We spent $72 million on Pepe. We spent $50 million on Partey. Like, we will spend the money. I think the money is there to be spent. I think the main issue is wages. Wages have always been our issue. And now that the wages are finally clear, I think now we should be looking towards the future and trying to, find those big players that we can try to get in. And that's always going to be dependent upon how we finish in the league. But more importantly, this year, if we can get to, you know, Europa League final, try to find a back door into Champions League, now would be the best time to do it. We say it every year, but now more than ever, because now we'll finally have the resources to spend and in terms of getting a top player in on a big salary. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if we were, you know, if the stars aligned and we find our way in a Europa League final or in a top four battle, which I highly doubt, it would help us tremendously in terms of finding players. But we digress. We'll get to that because we have a lot of football left to play. So after that Man United game, we had been on a really good run of form, you know, as of late. Things started to drop. The next game we had was Wolves, which we lost 2-1 in a game that, I mean, I really don't even want to talk too much about this because of how disappointed I was at how it went. But we went up 1-0 relatively early, about 32nd minute with Pepe. Great goal. And to be fair, Pepe has been on a good run of form, which we'll talk about later. And then David Luiz, at the stroke of halftime, gets sent off on a which I still to this day call it a terrible call that VAR has completely messed up, which they have just been doing a terrible job of all season. Gets a red card, a penalty. The double jeopardy rule, I guess, apparently doesn't apply to David Luiz in that case. So we go down, and then Leno gets sent off too. So two red cards. Ruben Neves scores the penalty, and then Joel Moutinho scores a banger in the second half. We lose 2-1 to Wolves in a game that we had literally all control over prior to the 45th minute. And so that was a bad loss. And obviously losing Leno for a game, we go into Villa. We lose 1-0 to a very good Villa side who is who I must say, shout out to Villa, because I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting this team at Dean Smith to have Villa competing the way that they're pure competing. And they've done the double over us for the, I think, the first time in I don't know how many years. But, you know, they're in eighth place, but they're only like what? They're like six points off of top four right now. Who would have said that? Who would have thought, you know, Villa would have been 6 points off the top four in February? You know what I'm saying? And
with the game in hand.
Yeah, exactly. So good for them. You know, it was a good game. Ollie Watkins scores in the first minute of the game, pretty much the first minute of the game. And they just looked like the better team for a good amount of the game. We had our time though. We had possession, we had chances. And it just they, you know, they were the better team. Martinez had a hell of a game too. Very, very good game. We did hit the post. I think that's when Partey went off injured. And yeah, it was just rough. It's been a rough go. It was a rough 2 weeks at that point. But we did pick it back up. And going into last Sunday's game against against Leeds, we finally saw Aubameyang get back into the team for the first time, I think, in almost a month. And that was a team that we saw a front four of Aubameyang up top, Emile Smith-Rowe on the left, Saka on the right, and Odegaard making his first EPL start at the 10. And then Xhaka and Ceballos had the double pivot because Partey is out injured. And a back line of Hector Bellerin, David Luiz, Gabriel, and Cedric with Leno in goal. And I would have to say Arteta's – if there's one game all season, I say Arteta picked the perfect lineup to play against the opposition. I think this was one of them. Being that Leeds has had a very less than stellar defensive record – and a very open team to play against, I think he picked the perfect lineup with having Saka, yeah. Odegaard, and Smith Rowe, all interchangeable players that are quick and play very, very direct and play and play one touch really quickly. Link up with Aubameyang, so who's able to spread out wide and can kind of cut inside, and having Ceballos and Xhaka there too as cover, who also had a pretty good game, was really good. And we jumped out, we beat them 4-2. Aubameyang on a hat trick. Some interesting notes to make. We were up 4-0 and they scored two goals in the second half. That one was beaten by a corner, which we normally don't get beat off corners, but David Luiz just got out jumped. And then the second one was Costa? Helder Acosta? Yeah, Helder Acosta scored the second one.
Yeah, Costa.
And who was also a very good player, by the way. I actually rate him.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't start, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. And
I mean, I guess I understand why, but because the Harrison's been playing really well on the wing. So has Rafinha, which is, he's very skillful. He's very, very skillful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Costa is really good, man. He definitely made an immediate impact once he came on the field.
Yeah.
So it was a really good sub at halftime for them. But how do you feel about that front four, man? Not to kind of switch things up, but I kind of want to – how you feel about that front four?
Okay, so interesting. Since we're all caught up about this, we can take some time and talk about this a little bit more.
Yeah,
I don't think this front four is something you play every week.
I agree.
I'm going to start with that. Before I start giving it all kinds of praise, Arsenal fans tend to, are probably the most knee-jerky fans out there, right? Where it's, oh, we found it. This is it. Aubameyang play up top now. Smith on the left. This is what we're going to play every game now until July of 2025. This isn't the end all be all at all. I think that this front four is very good against open teams because we keep the ball very well. In the front four, yep. We make things happen very well, but I don't think I would be playing this against City, for instance. I don't think I would be playing this against City. I think that, and City's coming up this Sunday after Benfica on Thursday. The reason why I don't think I would play this against City is because I don't think Aubameyang will have that much time on the ball. One, I don't think that Arsenal will have as much possession as they had. In this game, which was actually Leeds had more possession than us in total. It was 55%, 45%, but that was mainly because of the second half when we just kind of got into the defensive shell. And that's another thing too we need to talk about. Not to leave your question, but the second half, having to sub out, I think it was Danny Ceballos for Rob Holding in the end, because we were just getting into a defensive shell on our own pitch, says a lot about our team. It says a lot about our team because we are unable to kill games off. You could be up 4-0 in the second half and still be scared that a team's going to score four goals. And they could have scored four goals. If Leno made a couple big saves after 4-2, that could have been 4-3. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it says a lot about us that we had to go and put on an extra defender to sit and pretty much defend a two-goal lead at our home on our home patch against Leeds rather than being able to possess a game and kill it off. And I think that is a main reason why I don't think this formation works every game, because a team like this where it's open, we should be able to kill the game off. And yes, Leeds is expansive. Yes, they're going to press until, you know, for 90 minutes and they're going to make it hard. I get it. But in other games against City where we're going to be outpossessed, we're going to be outpassed against City. I don't think Saka, Odegaard and Smith Rowe are organized enough to do the defensive work. I don't think they're organized enough to press and win the ball back and beat us on and go get them on the counter. So I maybe wouldn't start this team against City yet, but I am excited. I'm excited about how good we look offensively. I'm excited about the chances we created, the quality chances that we created, and that's missing our top left back, right? That's missing Tierney. That's missing Partey.
Which he's back in training.
Yeah, back in training. Which I don't think he'll play. I don't think he'll play against Benfica though. I think maybe he'll play against City, which I'm kind of scared of too. Because I'm like, should we play him against City? Even, you know, like, what if he gets hurt? Like, City, we might even use that game as a wash because, I mean, look, we have bigger games after that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But
I think we beat City, man.
Think so?
Yeah, but we'll get into that when we get there. We're almost there. We'll definitely get more into that as we get into the pod.
Yeah.
But not to cut you off. I do agree though, man. I am excited about the front four. Mm-hmm. I do agree that I don't think they're ready to play this front four week in, week out. So it's tough for me to kind of just say, yeah, let's throw this front four out every single time.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's tough. It's very tough. And I think
you keep going.
I think that against certain teams like a Leeds or like a Brighton, like a West Brom, you play this. But I don't know if against City, for instance, you play this. I don't know if against Liverpool you play this. Mainly because, again, you know, you still got guys like Pepe that, you know, you may want to get on the field. You still have, you know, as good as Aubameyang looked up front today, he had tons of space. And even in possession in the second half, there's a lot of times where he lost the ball. And that's a difference between him and Lacazette up top. I think it's good that you can interchange them. But I think in those games like City and Liverpool, I think you should keep Lacazette up top. Because I think that work that you have from him against those teams, that selfless work that, you know, you have to go run around for 70 minutes and get less touches on the ball and try to just, I think that's more for Lacazette. Lacazette's more the workman. You know, he puts the hard hat on and goes to work. He's the white collar center forward at this point. And Aubameyang is more the goal scorer, more of the one that plays with a team like this in front of him. So I think maybe you play Lacazette up front in a game like that. Maybe you put Aubameyang on the wing. I don't know. But I just don't see this. And I don't want Arteta to do is to play this team against City. We get blown out and then we blame it on the kids, you know? And then their confidence gets shot. We need to protect Emile Smith Rowe and Saka at all costs. You know what I'm saying? Protect these kids. Yeah. You feel me? Keep Martin Odegaard happy. I mean, there's a lot of reports right now, which I don't believe yet, but that he, you know, saying that he doesn't want to go back to Madrid if Zidane is there and if he likes it here. Hey, you know, I'm not saying that this is true. I'm not saying that, you know, and I'm not saying to believe everything that you read, but, you know, if that has some legs, and there's no smoke without fire. So if he likes it here, he likes playing with this team, there's no reason why we can't really push Project Youth right now. And I'm glad we're talking about this now because I wanted to get this off my chest for some time. There's been some years that people have been asking about Project Youth, play the kids. But let's be real. 2-3 years ago, Sokka was not Sokka. You know what I'm saying? Sokka was in the academy. 2-3 years ago, Emil Smith Rowe was not Emil Smith Rowe. 2-3 years ago, we didn't have Martinelli. You know what I'm saying? So how could you ask to play the kids when the kids were simply just not ready? They weren't ready yet. You know, I mean, it is what it is. We had to go through this time. Emil Smith Rowe isn't Emil Smith Rowe if he doesn't go on loan to Leipzig. If he doesn't go on loan to where was it, Brentford or wherever he went on loan to before.
Huddersfield
Town. He's not the same player. These kids need time to improve. They need games, which is why Joe Willock is going on loan, which is why Ainsley Maitland-Niles is going on loan again, which he's gone on loan already. And I don't really think he needed to go on loan. I think he wanted to because of the Euros coming up, and he wanted to play some games to get to give his give himself a shot to get into the Euro squad.
I think Maitland-Niles' loan deal was to show that he's a midfielder. And
yeah, also that too. Also, well, to get opportunities to play in the midfield, and he's behind a lot of people in the midfield. And I think Willock, I think Willock more than anything needed that loan, though. I think Willock really needed that loan.
You know? Right? Yeah, I agree. Because so, he needed the consistent minutes, like every week, getting consistent minutes. And even though Newcastle is very bad, I think it's going to benefit him just being able to go out on loan and kind of get those minutes every single week. And I think that's going to help him because I like Joe Willock, but I just think he needed those minutes, like you said. And after this season, when he comes back in the summer, we'll see how he kind of transforms into that player. Because there was rumors that was saying that, you know, Arteta really loved how he loves his work ethic, but he really lacks that that final pass. And for him, he wanted to be, you know, up the field playing in that 8 or 10 role.
Yeah.
But that final pass was not there for him. So I think that's why he kind of got, you know, pushed back in the pecking order. So, I mean, I do think this loan deal is going to be good for him. So we can kind of see what he's best at and kind of utilize him for next season. Cause I honestly don't think he's going to be one of the, like the younger players that kind of get sold.
True.
But it's going to be interesting to see what he brings to the table next season when he comes back on from loan, if he doesn't go out on loan for a second year.
Willock, you're saying.
Yeah, Willock.
It would be interesting. I mean, he's a very interesting player, man. I think going on loan is something I've been saying for Joe for at least 2 years now, minimum 2 years.
Yeah.
I think it's because he needed to go and figure out what his position was. Is he a 10? Is he an 8? Is he a 6? What is he? Is he a hybrid of all three? Is he a master of none? You know. Is he one of those guys? You know.
For me though, like I think he does the best as like the hybrid 6 and 8-ish kind of player. I don't think he has what it takes to play the 10.
Me neither.
But I think he does have very well driving forward.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He can
drive forward really well.
Very well. And he can score and goals. He can score goals.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So, you know, the jack of all trades thing is good, but if you're a master of none, as we said, it's going to be hard, right? So I think for him, he needs to figure that out quickly. And yes, he's only 21 years old, but in the EPL and in European football, that's not as young anymore. Not when we're seeing, you know, Martinelli and Saka and all these other guys look the way they look. They already look polished at their age. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. You know, Phil Foden.
Yeah, Phil. Don't get me started.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Don't get me started. You know, so I mean, and even Odegaard. Odegaard is 22, and has been at a bunch of clubs right now, and is already, you know, was almost player of the year for his team in La Liga before he went to before he went back to Madrid. So I mean, look, the loans are important for young kids, very very important, especially for. especially for Joe Willock. So I hope the best. I hope he can use the kick on for Newcastle. And who knows? Maybe they like him a lot and they want to buy him. And, you know, we figure that out. I don't know. But I hope that he does figure it out and comes back, because he's another young player that I think should be a part of this whole Project U thing. You know, and I look at the kids that we have right now, whether on loan or not, between Joe Willock, between Reese Nelson, between Matteo Guendouzi, who's also 21 years old, between, you know, Saka, between Emile Smith Rowe, between Martinelli, between, you know, we have so many, bro. There's so many young under 23 players we have that can grow into something. We just need to. Gabriel's, I think he's 23 right now. You know, so there's so many young players that we have in this squad that can be nurtured at this point. But the way you do that is with a good mixture of veteran leadership and young players playing, young players with confidence in playing. And now that I think we finally have that in an Aubameyang, in a Lacazette, and even in Granit Xhaka. I mean, a lot of people are saying Granit Xhaka is a leader in that locker room, in a David Luiz. You know, Gabriel has said he's learned a lot from David Luiz. A lot of players have said they've learned. A lot of players can't stop talking about David Luiz and his leadership skills. So that's also really good. And I think at this point, Arteta has to look at this as a long-term plan. He has to look at this and say, okay, now that we have a core group of players, of young players that are now ready, they are now finally ready for the Premier League, how do we make our team competitive while developing these players, right? Because also, I mean, you still have Pepe, who's 25 right now, and he's probably should be the leader of this young crew of people, because he's at that age now where he's getting to his prime, and he still needs development though. You know, so there's so many questions you have to answer as, you know, as the manager, as Arteta and Adu, because those are two guys that should be joined at the hip right now. They should have one brain between the two of them. It should be what do we want Arsenal to be the next 3 to 5 years, and how do we get the best out of these young players, and how do we do that? And I think we do that by building the back line up. I think at this point you have what you want in your front four. I think the front four of the future, if you try to get Odegaard, I think you try your best to sign Odegaard, depending upon how the rest of the season goes. And I think you stay with this front four. I think with Lacazette and Aubameyang already tied up. Well, Lacazette not tied up on his contract, but I think if you can't get a big deal done for Lacazette, like if no one's coming here for 40 million to go sign him, I think you re-sign him. I think at this point you re-sign him. The reason why I say you re-sign him is because I think you re-sign him with the thought that Martinelli is your future center forward. I think you go get another young forward. If Balogun leaves, I think you go get another young forward. But I think right now, Balogun and Martinelli should be your center forwards of the future. I think Eddie, you give him a chance to fight it out, but I don't think he has a future here personally. I don't think he will be. I think he could be a great center forward for a mid-table club, maybe a Newcastle, maybe you know, one of those type of clubs. I still think he is valuable, especially as an English player. But I just don't see a future here with him. So I think, given our resources, given the money that we have with the salaries and the freed up money and space we have, I think you leave your front three the way, your front four the way it is. I think you re-sign Lacazette for a two to three year deal, maybe a 2 year extension. And that way he leaves the same time Aubameyang leaves. And I think those are your two guys for the future. I think you put Martinelli and Balogun in a position to where they learn from these guys, and you say, hey, you guys are the future. Give them those next 2 years. If we don't see an improvement from Balogun and Martinelli, then go buy one. You can go buy a center forward anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not saying that it's going to translate to the Premier League, but I think at this point, it's not a priority. I think your priority now should be your back line, 100%. I think you go out and you get a top tier center back right now. I think that's what you do. And the reason why I say that is because you have to make sure you have a center back that can do the things that you need to get done. So, yeah, getting a top-tier center back has got to be the first priority, I think, in the summertime. And I think that, you know, because we don't know what we're doing with Saliba and we don't know, you know, exactly what's – I mean, you pretty much know what's happening with everybody else. David Luiz should be gone probably next year. It's going to be in his contract. And Gabriel, I think, is a great signing. I think Holding will be the third center back. I don't think you let go of Holding. I think Callum Chambers will probably be gone, but Holding, especially being considered a homegrown player, being that he's English, and he's just a solid. I think he's just a solid third center back. I don't see him as anything else. I think he's earned his right to be there. The value is very good. We got him for pennies on the dollar, and he's a good player. So a solid center back. But in terms of that premier center back, I think that's what we need to do. I mean, ideally, you know, I would love to go sign a Koulibaly or something, you know. But he's 29 years old. His legs are probably going to be behind him. And, you know, pushing 30 coming to the Premier League as a center back, probably not the best idea, right? So, I mean, but there's plenty of guys, man. There's Marquinhos, he's 26. You know, there's guys everywhere, man. There's Paul Torres. I know that's a I think he plays in Spain for Villarreal. He's like 23, 24. Diego Carlos. 27, decent center back from Sevilla.
You know, Sevilla has guys. I'm not gonna lie, Sevilla has a few good center backs. Very good, good guys.
Kimpembe, I think would be decent for us. I think he's a guy that he does not the best ball playing center back, but he can definitely cover ground, make tackles. You know,
I'm not gonna lie, that was gonna be my kind of like. I don't want to say wild card, but that was going to be my pick, man. I actually really like Kimpembe.
I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's a bad center back.
I really like him. I think he has definitely grown into, you know, one of the elite center backs of the world now.
Yeah, I think he's very underrated. I think very underrated. Considering I agree. He's at PSG. I agree. But there's, I mean, like my point to you though is. We should be able to find our center back of the future this summer. We got to find our guy we can slot in right now, and he's going to be our guy for the next 5-6 years and our captain. And like that's the only – somebody with Koulibaly type of qualities is really what I mean. Tall, ball-playing, classy defender, doesn't you know, doesn't get rattled too easy.
We got David Luiz, bro.
Please.
You know, you see they're thinking about offering him another year.
Oh, my God. And I think now, look, I don't hate that Luis. Like I get it, I understand why he's valuable.
I think he's a valuable locker room guy.
Yeah, for sure. Arsenal has always been
he needs to be that
veteran. Yeah,
He just needs to be that though.
David Luiz needs to be the guy we played FA Cup so he could play with the kids and he could help them grow. He doesn't need to be the guy we need to be playing every week. He doesn't need to be the guy we play in important games. He needs a guy to be playing in Europa League.
Even that might be too much, bro.
Yeah, but my point to you is
I need you to help them out in practice.
Yeah, for sure. Be the fourth or fifth center back. I'm cool with that. David Luiz will make a great fourth, fifth center back, a great reserve center back. We just can't have him in games that are important to us. It's just not. He's just not good enough anymore, and that's not his fault that he's aged. You know, that's just him. That's just on him. So I think for me. A top tier center back. It should be the priority this summer. 50 million and up. I don't care. I think secondly, obviously we get another center midfielder. I think that's goes without saying. I think preferably somebody to pair alongside Partey. I think depending upon our situation with Xhaka, we definitely we're going to need someone else there. Even regardless, even if Xhaka stays, we're still going to need somebody there. Obviously with Odegaard, We'll see that what that situation is, but it has to be. We've been saying this for years, though. Fix the spine. We're finally doing it bits and pieces with Partey, with Gabriel. We're getting slowly but surely, right? But now needs to be the time. I think the last thing you need right now is go buy another center forward or buy another, because when you do that, all you're doing is fixing around the wounds. You know what I'm saying? So fix your main wounds, your center backs, fix your center midfield so we can go get goals and assists and chances and help them anchor that back line. I think our wing backs are fine. If Bellerin finally wants to leave and go to Barcelona, go get another right back. I'm cool with that. If he wants to stay, great. Stay. you know, you're one of the Arsenal captains. Stay. We're good with it. I think left back's probably our most reassured position on the field right now because we have one of the best left backs in the Premier League. So at this point in time, you know, you make the real big decisions about your wide roles because Saka's going to be there. Saka's probably he's going to play out wide, one of the left or right. Pepe,
yeah.
You got to figure it out what you want to do with Pepe. If you want him to be a part of this, which I think he should be, then you invest. Then you don't go get another wide player. You go put Reese on loan, or you tell Reese, hey, you're behind these guys. And then you have Martinelli, then you have Emile Smith Rowe, and then you have, you know, then you figure it out from there. Let me quick question while we get there too. What do you think about Danny Ceballos being quoted for $22 million?
If it's between him and Odegaard, then
I think I'm going to go to Odegaard too. But what if Madrid says no? We want Odegaard back, but we're offering $22 million for Ceballos.
I think I still say no because we already have Guendouzi, and they're both like pretty similar players. I mean, agreed. They both have their own style of how they do it, but at the end of the day, they both are essentially the same player in a way because they both have the confidence to pick the ball up from, you know, deep and kind of drive forward.
Mm-hmm.
They both aren't scared to get on the ball and try to, you know, control the tempo of the game.
Yeah.
I think they both have that final pass. Maybe Ceballos has it a little bit more because he is more natural of like an attacking
mid. Yeah, more of an attacking mid. Yeah, I see what you mean.
But I think
I agree with
you. They're very similar. So like
I agree with you.
It's
I would rather not spend the 22 million. Now, 22 million is really not that bad. It's really not.
It's really not that bad.
Considering we've almost sold Iwobi for like
Arsenal now. We're talking about Arsenal.
True. But we sold Iwobi for like 35 million. So
yes,
$22 million $22 million is not bad.
You buy Ceballos and you get rid of Guendouzi. That's essentially
I don't think
what
you do
you're
that.
Gonna have to do.
I don't think you do that. I think you buy Ceballos.
But no, but that's the thing.
I see what you're saying, though. I see what you're saying. No, I agree.
But the thing is, if you buy Ceballos, you have to get rid of Guendouzi.
No, I don't think you do. I think you get rid of Ainsley Maitland-Niles or Joe Willock. I think
yeah, but that's. But I think those players are already – I think it's more of Maitland-Niles is already gone in my sense. I think he's going to get sold in the summer, unfortunately. I actually like Ainsley Maitland-Niles, so I don't essentially want that to happen. But I do think that he's the player that's going to be out the door. And like you said, I think Reese is going to be – he's going to have that tough decision as like, okay, I either go out on loan so I can get minutes or I kind of just say, hey, man, we're going to have to kind of, you know, end this little
journey
that we
– I rate Reese Nelson a lot. I didn't rate him at first, but after he came back from Germany, I rated him a lot.
Even before he went out to Germany, I always rated Reese. I always thought he deserved a chance. I thought he was really good. But it's tough for him because he always picks up like little injuries and he can never get into form. He plays a really good game for Europa League, and then when it's time for him to get his, you know, his little 10-15 minutes in the Premier League, he picks up a little injury.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was saying the same thing about Smith Rowe, obviously, in the beginning of the season before he started to play. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm wondering, like, yo, why is he not on the bench? Why? What was the point of us putting him out on loan? And then, obviously, you find out that he picks up these little injuries. Mm-hmm. And now he's finally staying healthy and he's getting a good run of games. And now look at what has come about about that. So I think Reese is kind of a similar situation. I think once he gets a good run of games and he stays injury-free for a good amount of time, I think he gets that chance. But that's just my take on that. I think if you get Ceballos, then you got to get rid of Guendouzi. Not to say that I want that to happen, but they're the same player. So it doesn't really make sense for you to have the same player.
I think Ceballos could play more in the 10, though. I don't think Ndouzi is ever going to play 10. I think he could also play out wide if he really wanted to.
He's not playing in those positions.
So he's not playing it now because we have better players there. And
I'm not going to sit here and speculate that because he's never going to play there anymore. I think Arteta is set in stone and playing him in the 8, like the 8-6 role that kind of, you know, goes up and down, and Xhaka or Partey is going to be the one that sits, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying it is possible.
I agree.
That you can play him in other positions. I don't think it's a like for like thing.
And he did that against Leeds.
Yeah.
When he took out who was it? He took out Odegaard and he put Willian out wide, and then Ceballos was the higher player.
Yeah.
And then when Ceballos came out for holding, obviously that was
just to the back three. And that's what I'm saying. So I don't think it's that much of a like for like, but I understand what you're saying. They play the same position. Yes, primarily. Of course. 100%. But why can't we have two players in the same position? Why, that's just breed, just steel sharp and steel, right? So why not play those two guys there?
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, here's what I'm saying. Unless you're going to go out and buy a, you know, Hussein Awar or something like that, if you can't get Odegaard, and we can't find a top, you know, maybe the Buendia from Norwich or something like that, and Ceballos is available for 22 million, I wouldn't say no to that. You see what I'm saying? I think
Buendia is going to be gone in the summer.
Probably. I mean, maybe he stays. Norwich is what? Are they?
They are doing well.
Yeah, they
are
might
doing
get promoted,
well.
Right?
So they might have that like automatic promotion spot.
They're doing pretty good, right? Cool. So if that's, you know, if that's the case, then maybe he stays. Who knows, you know? Same thing with Cantwell.
Yeah,
Cantwell's been linked with a lot of players too. But, you know, if they're doing well. Yeah, Norwich is, well, they're only 1 point. They're only 1 point.
But they're the first. They're playing
well, but anything can happen. Well. There's a lot of games you play in the championship, definitely, bro. A lot.
But I don't think that they lose out right now.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I mean, you never know, but yeah, I don't think they will either. I think they're the best team in the second division.
Obviously,
right now.
You know, you never know. But I don't think they.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think them and Brentford are the two strongest right now.
Yeah. I agree.
I think they obviously get the automatic promotions. And then
so if they do, then maybe he stays. But the whole point to say that is Dennis Ceballos is not our first option at the center mid buying right now. I don't think so. However, if you know we can't get our first options and our second options and maybe even our third option, I think you definitely listen to Madrid's offer, because 22 million in hindsight is not a lot of money to spend on a player that A wants to be here. He has that for lack of better terms, Arsenal DNA. Right, he loves Arsenal probably more than a lot of players that are signed to this club right now. You see what I'm saying? So I mean, the way he celebrates goals, the way he wants to be a part of things, the work he puts in. Remember when Arteta first got here and he said Danny has to work harder, and what happened? He started working harder. So I'm not so quick to say, oh hell no, 22 million, not even work. I'm not so quick to say that. Because sometimes
I wouldn't say that. I'm not going to say hell no.
No, I'm not saying you did. I'm not saying you did.
I just spoke to a lot of people that have been saying
like, oh, no matter what, this guy's going back. And I'm not too quick to say that. I think we should definitely listen to the offer if nothing else, especially if we can sell Ainsley Maitland-Niles for that month or that amount of money or more, or Joe Willock for that amount of money more. I'm cool with that. I'm super cool with that, because again, another squad player that wants to be a part of this, that sees the potential in this squad and cares about the club. You don't want players here that don't really want to be here, they're just collecting checks. We've had players like that in the past. You see what I'm saying? And I would rather have a guy that wants to be here, that wants to grow, that wants to play, that pushes. That's how you get better as a club. Players like him.
Yeah.
Players like Henderson. Definitely. Players like, you know, guys for Liverpool. Players like the guys that maybe aren't the first or second name on your team sheet, but they're middle of the pack guys that push your team forward. And I think that's what Danny Ceballos is. But again, If we were to get to a Hussein Awar or something like that, then yeah, it is what it is. If it came down to it and we bought Awar and maybe even another center mid, and it came down to either bringing Guendouzi back or keeping Danny Ceballos for $22 million, then I'll probably keep Guendouzi, you know, because of course he's already an Arsenal player and we've already spent the money, and it doesn't make sense to spend $22 million on a player that is going to be fourth or fifth choice. I understand that completely. But again, if he's not, you know, if he ends up being a first or second choice in the market right now, then yeah, something worth looking at for sure. Outside of that, I think, you know, I think I just don't see us really going to a lot of attacking options with the amount of players that are around the club right now. Even John Jules coming back from loan, that could be another center forward option. I think he should be able the one that pushes it, Eddie Nketiah out the door personally.
But I think he goes out on loan again.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it depends. If Balogun leaves, then maybe he doesn't. Because then if Balogun leaves,
yeah,
then that means Martinelli and John Jules are really the only two other center forwards on top of, you know, outside of Lacazette and Aubameyang. So maybe he does stay at that point, you know?
Yeah, I see that. I agree. 100%.
Who knows? How's he been doing? I don't know. I haven't checked on him.
I'm actually going to look right now. Let's see.
Yeah, but in the meantime, yeah, while you check that, try to check his numbers, I think maybe we get, I think the only attacking option I really could see is, like I said, the 10 is in the 10 role, an attacking midfielder, and not really a 10 role, really kind of like a Hussein Mawar that can play, you know, kind of in a wide center mid position, or like kind of a Ramsey role where you're like a floating around box to box in a sense, or a guy that, you know, doesn't have to just sit behind the forward, but a guy that floats around, get into the pockets of space. And, you know, right now that's Emile Smith Rowe, right? That's ESR right now. He's the guy right now. So you get someone that's going to give him competition, but he's the guy. He's the guy for the future. It's clear as day, just like Saka is. That's why I don't think you get many, though. Maybe you get somebody to play behind him, but just like how I don't see us getting a right mid, right? I don't see us getting a right winger because, well, for one, Willian's like ball and chain locked up to us. And for two, you have Bukayo Saka, you have Pepe, you have Aubameyang playing the right or left, you have Martinelli. I mean, we have wide options out the wazoo at this point. You know, we don't have any issues with our wide players, I feel like, right now. There's no reason, unless we find someone better than all of those guys. And at this point, I don't see us spending the money on that when we have way more things to spend, way more issues in our team to spend the money on. So I'm hoping that that's how we do it to propel this Project Youth thing going forward. Any update on John Jew? Where is he at?
He's at Doncaster, right? Yeah, he's on Doncaster. Yeah, he played 11 games. He scored 3 goals, 2 assists. I feel like he got injured because he hasn't played since January 16th. So I think he may have picked up a little injury and he's just now coming back. But yeah, I believe he is.
That's good though.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I think he started off strong.
He did have an injury in December.
Yeah, I think he started off strong, and then he picked up a little, and then he cooled down a little bit, and then he got a little injury. But he's been playing 90 minutes or at least 80 minutes each game that he's played for the most part. So that's definitely good as well. I kind of want to like see if I can see any videos of how he's being used over there.
Yeah.
Cuz he's another player that I actually think is really good. He finishes very well. For his size. But
interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see how he comes back in the summer as well.
Yeah.
See if he could, you know, kind of stay and kick on. Yeah. So we'll see, man. That's
moving forward then. Benfica on Thursday, the round of 32 matchup, which is like insane that there's a whole round of 32 instead of a round of 16 to begin with.
Yeah.
But how do you see us lining up against Benfica? Benfica, fourth right now in the Premier League in Portugal. They, I mean, it's not an uberly competitive league over there, but they've only lost three games.
Benfica's playing pretty good.
They've done fairly well in Europa League. I think this will be an interesting lineup. I think maybe we see. I think maybe it's a possibility we see Lacazette. I think maybe you could possibly play both of them. You could play Aubameyang up top, play Lacazette in the hole, Saka and Pepe on the wide areas, give ESR and Odegaard a break. I think maybe then you go.
To be honest, not to cut you off. Sorry, I think Odegaard is gonna play. Actually, no, you go. I'll just say mine after.
Yeah, the only reason why I say that is because I think one of two of them are gonna play on against City on Sunday, and I would rather. I mean, this is a bigger game than City. Let's be real. This is definitely a bigger game than City. So I think you start the game possibly like that. Xhaka and Ceballos. He may even go Saka and Elneny. Could even go Xhaka and Elneny. Only because the front four is so attack-oriented. Maybe play with the double pivot. And then you go Cedric at left back. David Luiz at center back. I think maybe Holding at center back. And Bellerin at right back. And then Leno and goal. I think that's my lineup. Okay. The reason why I say that too is because Aubameyang and Lacazette in the Europa League have normally got us through. I mean, that partnership is what carried us through the Europa League final. I think you stay with that. I don't see a reason to play ESR and Odegaard until Sunday. I play him against City, but maybe not that same formation that we played against Leeds. I think one or two of them plays, but yeah, I think that's what I'm going with. What do you think?
Yeah, so mine, I think we try to go Matt Ryan and goal. Give Leno.
Really?
I know he had a break. Yeah.
Think so? In the knockout stage?
It's not knockout stage yet.
It's too late. It's round of 32.
There's two legs.
Yeah, but this is a knockout stage. This is you're in the knockout portion of the tournament.
I think Matt Ryan will play right now.
Okay.
But I go Bellerin on the right. I will go Holding and Gabriel in the middle. I'm actually gonna go. Bellerin Holding on the right, Mari on the left, Cedric on the left back. Mm-hmm.
With Mari fit?
The double. Yeah, he's been training. Then I'm gonna go. The double pivot's gonna be Xhaka and Elneny. Like you said, I do think that pair will see the pitch. In front of them, I see Odegaard on the left. I see Pepe up top. I see Lacazette. And then on the right, I see Saka. I think he gives
Aubameyang. Wait, give me a front four again. Say that one more time. So it's Pepe on the right, Saka on the left.
Pepe. Well, I have Pepe on the left.
Okay, Saka on the right.
Odegaard at the 10. Mm. Lacazette at the 9, and then Saka outright.
On the right. Okay.
I think Aubameyang gets a rest, so that way he comes in second half around like the 70th, 80th minute.
For yeah.
Just to get his legs moving.
Yeah,
I can see that. I think he gets a rest for Sunday, because even though the Europa League is probably the more important game, I do think that Arteta feels like we can get higher up the table in like the top six-ish, since we're only, 2 points off, I want to say?
Yeah.
Three points off top six?
2 or 3 points, yeah.
No. We're 6 points off. actually.
And we have a game in hand. I mean, everyone else has a game in hand. So,
just Everton You're right. I just looked, but yeah, I mean, we play a few of those teams. So if we continue to win and we can, you know, make some headway in that, then, you know, there's no saying that we can push on. I don't think West Ham will stay in the top five. That's just that's just my honest truth. Even though they are playing pretty well right now, especially with Lingard as that lone player. But yeah, I that's my lineup. I think Aubameyang gets a little bit of a rest and he comes back strong for City game on Sunday.
Okay, and who do you got? What do you got for City's lineup? I guess depending upon how Thursday goes, who do you think starts on Sunday?
Well, what's your prediction? What's your score prediction?
Oh, for Benfica?
We're
playing in Italy. I don't really make a difference because there'll be no fans anyways. But I'm gonna go 3-1.
Okay. I'm gonna go 2-0.
2-0 to the Arsenal?
Yes, to the Arsenal, of course.
Okay. All right. So let me see your give me your city prediction. Oh, give me your city lineup.
My city lineup is Leno in goal, Bellerin on right, holding and Gabriel. Tierney on the left. I don't think we get Partey back. I think he's still working his way back. So I think we go back to Xhaka and Ceballos in the pivot. In front of them, I got Smith Rowe. Out left, I have Aubameyang. Up top, I have Lacazette. And then out right, I have Saka.
So you have Smith Rowe on the 10, Saka on the left. Who's on the right?
Saka on the right, Aubameyang on the left, Aubameyang up top. I mean, Lacazette
up top. Yep, that's literally the same formation I had right here. Yeah, I think we're going to go with that. I think our Odegaard will come in off the bench. You want Aubameyang out wide against their right back for the pace. And you can't, you know, not play Saka.
I think Pepe will be one of the first choices off the bench.
We say that, but, you know.
Yeah,
we're
that's
really
true.
Saying Willian. Willian is always the first choice. Every time we say that, it ends up being Willian. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I don't get it, man. I really don't.
It's contract. It has to be something in his contract. I'm convinced now. I'm fully convinced because Arteta is not a dunce coach. I think he's a very smart guy. So there has to be a reason why Willian continues to get games. He should not be playing anymore, period. He should be training with the U23s. Like, there's no reason why. So it has to be a contract clause. It has to be, bro. There's no other reason why. There's no other reason. But anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think we got enough for today's pod. Definitely excited about these next two games. Obviously, after Benfica on Sunday, I mean on Thursday, and City on Sunday, we have a lot of big games coming up.
Yes, I agree.
We definitely have the second leg of Benfica will be next Thursday. We'll be at home, and then we have Leicester, which is going to be a huge game. Leicester away. Sunday morning, and then we have Burnley away, and then we have the North London Derby on the 13th of March, West Ham away, Liverpool at home, Sheffield away, Fulham at home, and it starts to get, you know, a bit easier at that point with Sheffield and Fulham, but then again, you never know with those teams. So yeah, business end of the tournament now, business end of the Premier League, business end of the Europa League. So, you know, time to tighten up the boob straps and try to get some results. That's the main thing, right? Trying to get some results. Yeah. So hoping for
that. Should be interesting.
Very, very interesting. So guys, appreciate you guys for listening thus far, for staying with us. We're going to try and hopefully get a pod out after the City game, so we could talk about Benfica and City, hopefully two wins for the Arsenal, and then we get into next week's games going forward. So, oh, you didn't give me a City. You didn't give me a City prediction, score prediction.
I'm going to go 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Ooh, clean sheet. That sounds very optimistic. So, hey, look, I'm with it, bro. I'm with it. I sure hope so. I am going to go 2-2. That's what I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 2-2. I'm going to go 2-2. Goal scorers are Lacazette and Aubameyang.
My goal scorer is going to be Aubameyang.
Gotcha. Well, all right, man. Appreciate that, my G, for yet another episode. Anything else you want to say to anybody?
No, man. Just want to say thank you to everybody that's listening.
For sure. All the people that have been telling us everything, man. It's been great. Happy Black History Month to everybody. Shout-outs to Gene and Bootbag for their Black History Month IG video. Has been super dope. A lot of people have, you know, taking the time out to do things like that. So shout outs to them. Shout outs to Shane over there. Everybody on that side. We definitely, you know, trying to make him a friend of the show soon as well. Another big Arsenal fan. And yeah, for everyone else that's listening out there, man, have a good day. Have a good rest of your week. Hope for an Arsenal win.
Yes.
COYG.
Stay blessed, everybody.
Stay blessed and highly favored. And we out. Peace.
Peace.